This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast. We're glad and delighted that you've taken time to tune in today. I want to talk about miracles. Miracles. The Bible is filled with miracles, in particular those that have been associated with Jesus Christ. If you'll turn with me immediately in your Bibles to Mark, the fifth chapter. Now, I'm not going to read all of the verses because there are a lot of them, verses 21 through 43. But many of you who are biblically literate will remember that there was an occasion when there was a woman in the crowd who decided within herself that if she could just simply touch the hem of Jesus' garment, she would be made whole. But simultaneously with that event was the fact that there was a ruler of the synagogue, a local worship experience there in the time of Jesus Christ, and the gentleman came up to Jesus and said, "Would you come to my house because my daughter is near death?" So we have these simultaneous moments going on of potential miracles, and those of you who study the Bible know that they did occur. But I don't think we always understand the background information that is necessary for us to comprehend what Jesus was doing, why the woman said if she would touch the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. Let me suggest to you this. I've read the Bible for many, many years, but it's only been recently that it occurred to me that I needed to understand the Bible more from a Jewish perspective. And I use Jewish in a collective term. I mean Hebrew, perhaps, perspective, or Israelitish perspective. By that I mean that the Old Testament and the New Testament has so much in it that is of the Jewish idiom, if you will, or the Jewish experience, that I can't read it and get all of the understanding if I simply read it as a Gentile. Are you with me? Follow me on this point, because there are some things embedded in the story we're going to look at today that would, I think, bring the scriptures more to light if we understood the Jewish connectivity to this event. Now, in the book of Mark and chapter 5, we find that Jesus has left one place to go to another. He's being followed by much people, and the people themselves are clamoring to Jesus because he has performed many miracles. There have been people who have had demons cast out of them. There have been people who have had blindnesses healed. There have been people who have had limbs healed. All kinds of things have occurred because of his presence and because of his power. But now we come to this particularly peculiar text. And it says this in verse 22. "And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, his name was Jairus, and when he saw him," saw Jesus, "he fell at his feet," in other words, he worshipped him, "and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray you, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live." This demonstrates a great amount of faith, my friends, that he would say that if you touch her, if you pray for her, she will be healed. But here comes the very interesting moment. While he is saying that and establishing his faith, Jesus went with him and much people followed him. They were always the curious. They were always the people wanting to see something spectacular, no different than the day. You know, we want to see the train wreck. We want to see the car accident. We want to see them fighting on the hockey rink field, if you will. So I suggest that you tune in very carefully now to what I'm going to say, because this crowd is going to see something awfully spectacular from our Savior Jesus Christ. But before we move on into the program today, let me tell you what we're offering in today's program. we have some marvelous things that I think you should acquire. If you are concerned about healing, if you're interested in the subject, if you'd like to experience the miraculous healing power of the Creator, the booklets we are offering today, or the booklet that we're offering, is The Miracle of Healing. That title is The Miracle of Healing. And the CD, the sermon tape that will be, I shouldn't say tape, but the CD that is being offered to you is entitled The Healing Touch. The Healing Touch. Both of these can be absolutely free to you when you make the toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791. Or if you prefer, and you are literate on the internet, just go to www.cgi.org. And we will rush those off to you as soon as we receive your call. And absolutely free of charge now. We will not ask you. There will not be a follow-up on it. But we want to put these materials in your hand to enhance your biblical knowledge and bring you along towards a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Now back to our presentation today. If you will follow this story of the people who are following Jesus, in that crowd is a woman. She's a woman who, the Bible says, had had a sickness or a hemorrhage for 12 years. Now, 12 years is a very long time, but simultaneous with her 12-year ordeal, if you'll just take a quick glance in your Bibles to verse 42, the young lady, the woman, the damsel, the child who is sick, is 12 years old also. Now, in Texas, where I lived for 12 years, or 14 years, actually, it's interesting that they call that a clue. 12 years of the hemorrhage, 12 years of this child being on the earth and near death. Well, what do we have here? A certain woman which had an issue of blood in verse 25. She had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. I would guess she didn't have health care. That's just an aside for those who are embroiled in that as we tape this program. But when you have Jesus as your healer, you don't need health care. That's a promise from the Old Testament that Jesus is going to play out before the people because of something that he is going to, that he is wearing. It's a garment that he has on. Now let's read on, verse 26. She suffered all of these things from the physician, spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, coming into the press behind him, she touched his garment. Now, it's interesting that in the three gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, different words are used. Here in this account, it says garment. In the Matthew account, it says the hem. In the Luke account, it talks about the border of his garment. So all of it together will give us a clearer picture of this garment that Jesus was wearing that not only drew the attention of the woman, but it would have drawn the attention of everybody around because Jesus, if you will recall, was called a rabbi, teacher, doctor, rabbi. And a rabbi was a very special person in ancient times, especially in the time of Jesus Christ. They could be distinguished by the garment they wore. In the Hebrew tongue, it is called the tallit. And many of you have seen the Hasidim or the Hasidic or the ultra-conservative Jews wearing these garments. They have the prayer shawl that's sometimes called in the English language, but it's called a tallit, T-A-L-L-I-T, tallit. And it has on it fringes and knots all around the edge of the garment. And you can see that when you see the Jews going about their activities. Perhaps you've seen film, video from Jerusalem and other places. Perhaps you live in a community where the Jews are ever present before you, as I do in Detroit, and you get to see these garments. And in fact, I've entered into conversations with them about it so that I could be better informed as to the why of the garment. But let's continue in the passage today. It says, when she had heard of Jesus, verse 27, she came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said within herself this interesting thing, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now this is remarkable. 12 years she has been hemorrhaging, and that means she was anemic. and strength was ebbing out of her life, if you will, because she's continually faced with this terrific, terrible circumstance of the hemorrhage from her body. Now, with that in mind, she says within herself this remarkable thing: if I could just touch his garment, just his clothes, just that prayer shawl, that tallit that he is wearing, then I know that I will be made whole. Do you have that kind of faith? Well, I know that you can't get to the tallit, but there is something in the Bible that represents the tallit, because I need to go back to the Old Testament for a moment to share with you some things that are there to make relevant why Jesus, at this moment in time, should be viewed as wearing a garment that was authorized and commanded, actually, in what we call the Old Testament. Now, many of you viewing the program today view the Old Testament as passé, out of kilter, and non-functioning. But nothing could be further from the truth, as we shall see in this passage today. If you'll turn back with me to the book of Malachi. If you'll turn with me to Malachi, the fourth chapter, and verse 2. Here in Malachi is an interesting statement, because a word is used that you will not even think of as relating to the border, the hem of a garment at all. But here's what it says. Malachi 4 and verse 2. This is referring to Jesus Christ, or the coming Christ. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." This is in the context of a day that is to come, when the earth is going to burn with fervent heat as an oven, and all the proud and all the wicked shall be stubble in the presence of Almighty God. But the Son of Righteousness is coming to bless, to protect, and to preserve, and to elevate those who are in faith and in connection with him. Now, healing in his wings. What a marvelous word. Comes from the Hebrew that means simply kanaf, K-A-N-A-P-H, kanaf. And it means an edge or extremity, a border, corner, or end. It can mean all of those different things. So when you bring it back into the relevance of the discussion with Jesus Christ and the woman who came up to touch his garment, she came to touch the wings of his garment, the edge, the extremity, the border of his garment. And in so doing, she was tapping into a resource that goes all the way back. I have one more Old Testament scripture to share with you. In the book of Numbers, Numbers 15, and we'll start at verse 37. And this is a command that was given by Moses, by authorization from God Almighty, to the people. Here's what it says. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue." Now, these garments, these tallits that you see Jews wearing, men and women, because here it says the children of Israel, it doesn't say just the males, it doesn't say just the females, but all of them can do this. It says that it should have this ribbon of blue, and you will see that in these particular garments. Verse 39 says, "And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them." Now that's interesting that Jesus would have been wearing this kind of garment in the New Testament setting. I know he had not died yet. I know he had not nailed to the cross everything that he was supposed to nail to the cross. But one of the things he was nailing to the cross was not the commandments, not the law. That's for another program. But if you labor under that mistaken notion, you need to have the scriptures or the word correct you on that. But it goes on to say, "to do these commandments, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to do a whoring," or to go a whoring, "that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God." This garment was to be a depiction of holiness. It was also be a reminder of the commandments of God and the promises of God that are contained in what we call the Torah, the first five books of the Hebrew Bible. It should be more correctly understood to be the Hebrew Bible and not simply the Old Testament. When you put the term old on something, it means it's about to pass away and has no power. But in fact, God says in verse 41, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am Yahweh Elohim, or the Lord your God. So in the setting back in Mark, we understand that there was a scriptural imperative from the Old Testament that required Jesus Christ, or any person of the Jewish faith, to wear this type of garment, the tallit, the prayer shawl, if you will. And so Jesus complied with it, and into this scenario comes the woman with the issue of blood. And I'm going back now to the account in Luke. Let's go to Luke, the 8th chapter, and see what it says there, because here the term him is used. In verse 43 of Luke 8, it says, a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Remember what we established out of Malachi? Well, it continues on into the New Testament as a border or a hem. And immediately it says her issue or her hemorrhage of blood staunched, or it stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, there's a huge multitude around you, a throng of people pressing upon you. And you say, who touched me? But Jesus' response is, someone has touched me, for I perceive that virtue or power, the Greek word here is dunamis, which we get the word dynamite from, dunamis. It means to have power. So power or virtue had gone out of him. And the woman who saw this situation was now exposed, when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and fell down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she had been healed immediately. And Jesus said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Now that's interesting. It was not the garment that made her whole. It was he who wore the garment. The garment was a depiction or a reminder. Now, you've seen illustrated on your screen these tallits, these prayer shawls. On the edge of these prayer shawls are all of these knotted strands, if you will. If you were to count all of those strands, they would number 613. Isn't that interesting? Because the Hebrew people, the Jews, established that there are 613 commands in the Torah, that is, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. 613. So this prayer shawl that is worn has knotted on it 613 strands into knots that have been tied into knots to depict or to remind the wearer of the promises of the Torah, the promises of God through the Torah. And you know, one of the promises that you can find in the book of Exodus is that God is our healer. He even says, I will not bring on you the diseases that I brought upon Egypt. I am Yahweh Rapha, that is the God who heals you. Isn't that interesting? Into the context then of Jesus Christ coming into the midst, into this crowd, this woman who interrupts Jesus' journey to the man who is the ruler at the synagogue named Jairus. Can you imagine what was going through his mind? I wish this lady would get out of the way. My daughter's near death. I wish she would move aside so we could get on before my daughter dies. But Jesus waits, and he has this discussion with this woman. And while he was speaking to her, look at verse 49. There came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Trouble not the rabbi. Now, that had to be a poignant moment. That had to be a heart-wrenching moment for the man who trusted that Jesus would come and would heal his daughter. But perhaps he even thought, thinking, you know, I don't know what his thinking was, but perhaps he was considering this. If she's dead, he can raise her from the dead. So stringent was his faith. So powerful was the concept that Jesus, you're the only one who can help me in this situation. So I've come to you. I've bowed down to you. this interruption of with the woman, I rejoice that she's healed, but there's some unfinished business over on the other side of town. And surely we must proceed in that direction. Here's what the scriptures say. When Jesus heard it, that the girl was dead, he turned to Jairus and said, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Wait a minute. You mean Jesus was so attuned to the will and the mind of God, so empowered was he, so demonstrative was he about the fact that this is not a dead issue. This is not the end of the matter. Yes, I know that your daughter is dead. That pronouncement has come. But have faith, because it's not over until I say it's over. Well, let's read on and see as they proceed to the house. When they arrived, verse 51, when he came to the house, he suffered no man to go in except Peter, James, and John, his traveling companions, if you will, and the father and the mother of the maiden. You know, many times we don't receive healing because we're surrounded by people who don't believe. We're surrounded by people who are negative. We're surrounded by people who says, well, we don't really know what the will of God is. God's word is very clear about the fact that we can access healing. And it takes a simple touch from the master. It takes us believing that he is capable of doing it. If we don't believe, we cannot receive. That's pretty plain and simple. But in the circumstance we're examining here, and I go into more detail in the material that we're offering to you today, but in this passage, it says everybody was weeping and wailing. And I know how that is. You have professional mourners all around. And Jesus said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, took her by the hand, and called, saying, maid, arise. In the account in Mark, it says, Talita kumi. Talita kumi, which is Aramaic, not Hebrew and not Greek, but Talita kumi. So I did a little research and looked that up. Talita is a play on the word talit, because Jesus has this shawl on as he goes in to see her. It's the same shawl that the woman who had had the hemorrhage for 12 years had touched. And now he says, playing on the word Talitha, which means young one or lamb. And a lamb, of course, is depicted as Jesus being the Lamb of God and all. But you tie all that together and he is giving her a command to awake out of her sleep. And the miracle is, her spirit, in verse 55, came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her food, and her parents were astonished, and he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. But I'm here today to tell you that those miracles happen simultaneously in conjunction with the truth that there are promises in the Bible, promises in the Torah, that will enhance our connectivity to God. And if you stand in the need of healing today, healing your mind, healing your body, healing your finances, then you must cry out to God. You must prostrate yourself as Jairus did. You must humble yourself as the woman did who came up behind Jesus to touch his garment. Because the result of acting upon the promises of God will release those benefits that come to us that are large even in the Old Testament. Healing, prosperity, generosity, examples before the world to bring them to Christ also. Oh, don't you want to be touched today by the healing touch of Jesus Christ? I suggest that you take time to make the toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791 or go to our website, www.cgi.org, or you can call our office during business hours at 1-903-939-2929, and you can secure the material we're offering in today's program. My friends, I would like for you to experience the healing that comes from trusting in the Lord God and wrapping yourself in the promises of the Torah. See you next time here on the Armor of God.
Well, on today's program, Bronson sure did illustrate that Jesus caused quite a stir. His ministry, let's face it, was controversial for a variety of reasons. Obviously, many of us are well aware of the fact that he was controversial in his message because of his approach toward the law. He was aspiring to a balance. He preached and emphasized mercy instead of judgment. He emphasized forgiveness instead of punishment. This was controversial in his day and age among the religious elite, not to mention, of course, his assertion that he was, in fact, the Son of God. But what was really controversial, and Bronson clearly illustrated that to all of us today, were the miracles that he conducted. These miracles were very disturbing to many of the religious leaders of his day because they gave him credibility. Whether it was the story that Bronson illustrated to us of the woman in the crowd who had the issue of blood, or the raising of the daughter of the gentleman who requested the healing before he realized she had died, or for that matter, the harlot that was caught in the act of adultery, or of all things, him walking on water and people literally seeing these kinds of things. No, Jesus, without question, my friends, was controversial. He was an enigma to many people. And yet today, as Bronson illustrated, the appeal to have faith in Jesus Christ for healing is imperative. Won't you let us help you to go ahead and better understand this? Dial now, 888-578-8791. Ask for both of the free offers that we're providing to you today on today's program. A piece that you can easily read in one sitting, Miracle of Healing, along with a one-hour presentation that's going to go into far more detail regarding Mr. James's message by Mr. James himself, titled The Healing Touch. You've got to get both of these free offers. And again, let me emphasize, they are free. Dial 888-578-8791. Don't forget about that website at www.cgi.org. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, as we always do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
The Church of God International would like to introduce Infuse, a magazine of understanding designed for tomorrow's leaders, specifically addressing the contemporary issues facing and challenging young people around the world. The Infuse magazine presents solutions while providing advice and ideas outside the box, giving new dimension to some of life's most pressing concerns. Call now or hit us on the web and request your free subscription for Infuse, a magazine for tomorrow's leaders.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.